Good afternoon again, everybody. Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr. The sun shining. It still feels like November. Yesterday was, Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department outreach biologist. This yesterday and today is more like deer season than any other day in October.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely feels, and maybe part of it is because we've been, got so used to being it so hot and so dry for so long when it goes. It seems like we've been above average in temperature for so long that now when we get, whether it's normal or below average, it's like, whoa, this is not good. Well, what do you see, though? What do you see coming down the pipe, into the weekend? Because like you said, we had some snow earlier this week and some cold temperatures, and quite honestly, with the rain for the pheasant opener last weekend in a lot of places, there was a lot of hunters that the recurring theme that I had, whether it was in southwestern North Dakota, southeastern, south central North Dakota, is, well, it was kind of raining in the morning and then it cleared off so we could go out and do a little hunting in the afternoon. Then it started raining again. So we got some birds, and I suppose I should, part of my job, I probably should, report out that there were people, south of Dickinson that were three guys, got their nine birds, but it took them all day to do that because of the rain. There were guys in south central North Dakota in the Kidder County area that would get eight guys, got 15 birds. So they were, a little bit south of. So it was varied success. Southeastern North Dakota, like Richland County, kind of that same pattern where there was two guys that would get five birds. So some pretty good reports, but it was, as you were talking to earlier on, it was a little bit more hunting than just going out and shooting some birds, Mick.
Yeah. Well, like the corn and soybean and wheat, yields varied significantly even within a field.
Yeah. So for the harvesters and the hunters this weekend, are we going to have a little better hunting and harvest weekend?
Mucho bueno. Si.
Specken Sie Deutsch?
Nine. Yes, it'll be a beautiful weekend. A lot of sunshine. Nippy in the morning. I think that's good. We'll see some scattered frost Saturday, but less likely Sunday, but still we'll see some somewhere, probably at Lakes area of Minnesota. But starting Saturday morning, anywhere, any morning, we could see some frost on the pumpkin and on the windshield, but no hard freeze. Yet this weekend will be about 60 on Saturday, breezy, beautiful day Sunday. If I'm going to vote for one day this weekend, that would be the day to be outdoors and doing stuff and short sleeves, less wind, mid 60s.
Oh,
it'll be Sunday. If you want to take Monday off, go for it, because it'll be about 70 to 75 on Monday.
Well, we just had this discussion earlier on in the program about, people going to work. Now you're telling people to take Monday off, huh? I was trying to encourage people to keep on working, and now you're telling people to take Monday off, huh, Mick?
Well, I'll be here. You'll be working,
I'll
probably.
I'll be working on Monday.
But yeah, Monday will be beautiful. The rest of next week will be a little on the cool side. And South Dakota, because of that cold front that'll go through, South Dakota might get some rain Wednesday, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday into Thursday next week. And after that, continued above normal temperatures and below normal precipitation. And so I don't see a hard freeze anytime soon.
Well, so it sounds like we're going to have some harvestable and some huntable weather coming our way here.
Right on. Good. Get out there. Find your vest and sunglasses. But like Thursday and even today, hey, where'd I put my jacket, Ma?
Yeah. it was one of those reminders, though, and it's, like when, we didn't get the snow, but we hear about the snow that other parts of the area got, and it's a good reminder of like, okay, got some fall. We all got a little fall work that we need to maybe kick ourselves in the butt just a little bit, and it's a good reminder to start getting some of those lists, the boxes checked off on them, Mick.
Disconnect all of the water hoses from external faucets, outside faucets. That's something that a lot of people forget to do and pay the price.
Can be an expensive price.
Now, they sell those at Menards,
Oh, so, do they?
Yeah. But they're not cheap.
No, I'd rather do it the easy way than the hard way and the expensive way. I mentioned earlier on that you made me laugh with the connection between auctions and a one and a two in Strasbourg. And then you made me think, because it might have been the same day I was listening, you were talking with Mark Halverson,
mm-hmm.
And you're talking about shelter belts.
Yep.
And I started thinking, you know, I was up at a wedding up in that region, and I think he had been up to Drayton, and you were referencing maybe over your travels from Devil's Lake. And
yeah, it was Hatton, between Hatton and Cavalier on Highway 18.
When we came back from a wedding in Turtle River State Park, mm-hmm. our villa off Highway 2, we took Highway 18 south out of our villa. I think we ended up, was it Hatton, then Northwood, or Northwood, then Hatton, then coming down like through Portland maybe. Mm-hmm. And it was a Saturday night, and I thought the same thing. I saw these shelter belts. And I've never, you know, growing up in North Dakota, you never really revered the shelter belt because they were everywhere. And now when you see so many places where farming has changed, I mean, mm-hmm. It's just an observation. I totally know that equipment is bigger and
44 row planters and big combines,
right.
And 134 foot wide sprayers. Yeah, you got to lose the shelter belts, but farmers are paying the price.
Yeah, and you know, and at the same time, you know, we've seen no-till become a lot more popular. So I mean, the interest in the health of the soil remains. There's just different ways of doing things, and it is so refreshing to see some of these old shelters. I know they don't live forever. I know they either have to be dozed out or replaced or something like that. But man, seeing shelter belts is just kind of like an invigorating thing, Mick.
Yeah. Cottonwoods. Boy, those big old cottonwood trees. Some of them, they sure blow over easy, or they sure get struck by lightning easy.
Yeah.
But they've been around. A lot of these big old cottonwoods have been around for a long, long time.
One of the things that we've seen in some of the deer mortality studies that we've done is the benefits that shelter belts provide to wildlife. And again, I know that there's reasons that shelter belts have been disappearing and then that they're gone. And I'm just explaining that there is a strong benefit to having those shelter belts for deer.
Mm-hmm.
Because and anybody that, you know, grew up hunting, you'd walk a shelter belt and you'd probably kick up a deer out of a shelter
belt. Well, in the middle of the previous century, toward the tail end of the last millennium, when I was hunting, the first place we went to was the shelter belt.
Right. And it gives credence to, like, our deer mortality studies of how beneficial they are to having shelter belts. Nobody's going to go out and put a rock pile out there, but deer are found in rock piles, and shelter belts in Northeast, rock piles in South Central, and, you know, in Central North Dakota. But it's, to me, it's kind of fascinating because we, as hunters back in the day, you'd go to, you know, an old farmstead, mm-hmm. and would have, you know, like a shelter belt around the north side and the west side. And then you'd have the entrance and an old abandoned farmstead.
Mm-hmm.
You'd walk those shelter belts inside that farmstead and, you know, pretty good chance that you'd kick it down. Those were very beneficial to deer. Rock piles. I can remember, you know, walking out to a rock pile specifically thinking, hey, there might be a deer out there. Sure enough.
On the other side. Yeah. And I suppose, like, goats love to climb on rocks to trim their hooves, keep their hooves in check. I suppose deer, cloven hoof animals, same thing.
That, and they like to get out of the wind.
Oh, sure.
You know, lay down in the grass, get out of the wind, and you can be out of the wind but still not have as much shade and get that sunshine, mm-hmm. and stay warm. So it's really fascinating to look at the landscape, whether it's Minnesota, North Dakota, or South Dakota, and just see some things that maybe we've driven by and seen for years.
Don't notice anymore because of its regularity.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the other thing that varied landscape provides is it actually gives them refuge from predators.
Sure.
You know, we've seen on a, I don't know the technical term for it, but like on a monotypical landscape when there's no difference in it, you see higher predation levels. So, you know, a lot of things coming back to deer is that deer do benefit from having those edges. And you'll see people, hunters, maybe not realizing it, but the wildlife behavior and the deer biology is why you might walk the edge of a cornfield, on the edge of a slough, on the edge of CRP, on the edge of a shelter belt. It all comes into play, Mick.
All right. Hunting 101, Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department outreach biologist. Thank you, Doug. Hey, we should, it's pheasant. South Dakota pheasant opener. We got North Dakota pheasant season for a week now, and we're 3 weeks away from the North Dakota deer season. My goodness
gracious. It's a great time of year to get outdoors. I mean, even if you don't hunt pheasants or archery deer hunt, even if it's a Sunday drive, to just get outdoors and it refreshes the spirit, and that fresh air and that sunlight is good for, it's good for you, Mick.
For sure. And although we did get snow from a beach up to Williston, it will melt. But yeah, that was 7 to 14 inches of snow out there. That's a lot. So, but we haven't had a blizzard yet. We haven't had a hard freeze. It's really kind of a wonderful fall to be outdoors.
Enjoy it while we can, Mick. Enjoy it while we can.
Thank you, Doug.
Take care, Mick.
Next week. North Dakota Game and Fish Department outreach biologist Doug Lear on Farm Talk on a Friday, and we will see the rest of you Monday after you have a great weekend.